Thank you, Jake. If you have your Bible, open with me to the Gospel according to Luke. We are now in the 17th chapter and begin in the 20th verse of our study of the Gospel according to Luke. Luke 17, 20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See here.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will desire to see me, to see one of these days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here,' or 'Look there.' Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under the heavens shines over to the other part under the heavens, so also shall the Son of Man be in his day." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, that you would take this time and take our hearts, Father, and mesh them together in your will. Father, I pray that those who are here that do not know you would have their hearts open, and Father, that they would come to you. I pray for believers, Father, that this would be a day of quickening our spirits to your will. Father, that we might know your presence and that we might come closer to you than we have ever been. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably the most common question that I am asked, and most of the pastors I know are asked, have to do with the last times. People are very interested in what's going to happen out there somewhere. It seems to be a natural drive in us to want to know what's going to happen. When we get to the discussions of the last days, theologians like to get out their big words. And so the study of the last days is called eschatology. You might be able to impress some of your friends by saying, "We had a great worship service at Northside Baptist Church this morning. Our pastor had a tremendous message on eschatology." And if they look at you and just say, "Wow," you'll understand they don't have a clue what you're talking about. And I know some of you who won't listen very well today. Somebody's going to ask you, "Well, what was the message about this morning?" And you'll say, "I don't know, something about cats." But eschatology comes from the Greek eschaton, meaning last days. Now, when we study the last days, we study apocalyptic writings, and there are apocalyptic writings throughout the Bible. If the apocalyptic writings are those that reveal things that had been concealed. The word apocalyptic means to reveal. The Greek word for the apocalypse is found in verse 30 here in our text when it says the Son of Man is revealed. Revealed is the Greek apocalypsis. The last book of the New Testament is the book of Revelation. The first verse in the book of Revelation actually says the apocalypsis of Jesus Christ. You will find apocalyptic writings throughout the Bible. Now, most people think it's all in the book of Revelation. May I tell you what God has to say? He says all through Scripture. And so you can find apocalyptic writings in David, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Zechariah, certainly in Revelation, but you even find it in Matthew and in the Gospel according to Luke. Apocalyptic writings lead us to the next coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do know Jesus is coming again. He is going to come, and it is a certain thing. The second coming of Jesus is divided into two parts. Now, he's going to come for his own. We call that the rapture. At a moment that no one knows, he is going to come in the eastern sky, and when he comes, those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the air to meet him in the air. No parachutes needed. It's going to be an exciting day. It'll be an exciting time. If you get dizzy in heights, don't worry about it. I'm sure God will take care of that in that day. when will it happen? Well, we're going to talk about those things as we move through this passage. Those that do not know the Lord will not go. Those that do not know, I don't care what age they are. I don't care where they are. I don't care if they're a member of a church or not. If they don't have Jesus Christ as their Savior in that day, they won't go. The Bible tells us they will be left behind. Left behind sounds like a good name for a book. This will be followed by a horrible period in the world. Told us in Daniel 9, Revelation 6 through 18. Then in that time, there's going to be a one world ruler. He is going to be the Antichrist. At the conclusion of 7 years of absolute horror on the earth, called the Great Tribulation, then the second part of the second coming will take place. Then Jesus, who has come for his own, is going to come back with his own. He's going to come, and hey, we're going to come with him. And we're going to be riled up. We're going to be ready to go. We're going to be in victory's corner, and we're going to be ready to go to war. The Antichrist and all of his forces are going to be lined up to attack Jerusalem. And we're going to come, and we're going to be saying, "Let me at him, let me at him." And before we can lift one hand, Jesus will win the victory. I'm glad, because I'm already tired. God is going to move in a great way in that day. We are taught in God's word that Jesus is going to come, and it's going to be a marvelous thing. And then he's going to rule on the earth for 1,000 years. That's called the millennium. Now, in case you don't know by now, in my eschatology, I am pre-trib, pre-millennial. Now, there are some people that don't believe what I believe about the end times. And I want you to know they have the right to be wrong. In truth, many hold different things. Some just don't want to fool with it, and they don't want to get into the details, and so they call themselves panmillennialists. That they think it's going to pan out one way or the other in the end. Well, it's not going to pan out. It's going to Jesus out. In the end days, all the focus is going to lead to Jesus. Now, all of this we've talked about this morning to get us ready for this passage of Scripture. When Jesus talks about end times, in this passage are questions of eschatology. When? In verse 20. When he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God comes not with observation." The eschatology of the Pharisees was wrapped up in something called the kingdom of God. Now, they thought the kingdom of God was going to come and be in their favor. They thought the Messiah would come and be a military leader. They thought the Messiah would come, take on Rome, because they couldn't see anything worse than Rome. And so they wanted the Messiah to do their will and defeat Rome. And if that happened, they were going to be happy. They longed for what they saw as a continuation of David's reign. If you asked them who was the greatest king, anybody would tell you it was David. And so they wanted to continue David's reign. Well, David had reigned 1,000 years before that time, and they thought that it would pick up and continue and would be a marvelous time. They knew, and they did say, that the kingdom of God would be about righteousness. But they thought the righteousness of God equaled the righteousness of the Pharisees. They just wanted the Pharisees to get their own way. Now, you'll probably remember Jesus taught us how to pray. And when Jesus taught us how to pray, he taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We pray for God's kingdom to come. When the Pharisees asked, they wanted things to happen their way. They wanted God to do something now. They were fed up with how the world was, and they wanted God to do something and change things. Well, that's not far from how people think today. People want things changed. The whole world is sinking in a pit of sin. This whole world is getting worse. ISIS and others are bringing terror to a daily confrontation in our lives. Many of our politicians are acting like spoiled children. Parents are abandoning their children. Others are abusing children. We have same-sex marriages. And people cry out, why didn't God do something? Why isn't God fed up with all of this like we are? When is God gonna step in? Well, Jesus tells the Pharisees they're not gonna find the kingdom of God through observation. They wanted signs. They wanted signposts saying the kingdom of God's coming, the kingdom of God's coming. And Jesus says there's not gonna be any signs. You're not gonna observe signs and know the kingdom of God is coming. If someone tells you the kingdom of God is coming here or there, don't pay attention to them. If someone gives you a date, immediately you know they don't know. Do not ever follow anyone that gives a date. Jesus himself said as he walked on the earth, that bit of information was kept from him. If he doesn't know, you think some yahoo's going to know today? There have been several occasions in my lifetime when people have named a date. At the turn of the century, there was a fellow that wrote a book. He gave 1,000 reasons why Jesus was going to come in 2000. When Jesus didn't come the point of date that he wanted them to, January 1, 2000, he revised the book. He put it out again. He said he had his math a little bit wrong, and he got it right, and he put out another copy of the book, and you know what he accomplished? He sold a lot of books. And then he moved off to a cabin somewhere in the woods where nobody would be able to find him. One group sold all their possessions several years ago and moved to Mentone, not too far from us, moved up to Mentone, and there they were going to await Jesus' return. And they waited, and they waited. I think some of them finally moved back into civilization. Listen, Jesus has made it clear no one will know the exact date, the time, the hour. Jesus reveals an important truth in verse 21. He says, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. You want to know when God will make a move? Well, when will God do something about this messed up world? Hello, have you ever heard of Christmas? God left his throne in glory and came to a lowly manger. That was God doing something about this messed up world. It's not when will God do it. God has already started. He's already begun his move. The Pharisees missed the kingdom because the Pharisees missed the king. And people today that are wandering around wondering what's going to happen and who's going to happen and when's God's going to do something have failed to look to what God has done and the one that God has provided. God gave us Jesus. Now, Jesus turns the discussion and he talks to his disciples and he wants them to know he's going to care for them. But he also wants them to know that they're going to face days that are going to be hard. And when he talks to his disciples, he's talking to us too. Those of us who know Jesus as our Savior. And in case you didn't know it, there are hard days out there. Maybe you've experienced a few. And so the Lord tells us there are going to be those difficult days. There are going to be days, he tells the disciples, there are going to be days when you'll wish for the days, you'll long for the days that you were back and I was teaching you. You'll long for those moments that you were under my teaching and you saw me face to face. And there will be other days that you'll long for my coming in glory. Oh my. I have reached a part of life and I look at this world and There are days I pray for the Lord Jesus to come. Oh, I would love for him to come. I'd love for him to come right now. He is tarrying, and the fact that he is waiting tells us there are more souls that need to come to Jesus, because he's going to give everyone an opportunity to respond. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, you have this opportunity to respond. When Jesus returns, believer, know this: you won't miss it. Don't think that you're going to wake up one morning and you know, everybody's going to be gone and you will have missed the rapture. Now, if that happens, you're lost. God knows his children, and God will care for his children. The scripture says a lightning bolt will flash, as a lightning bolt flashes across the sky and can be noticed. It goes from one side of the sky to the other side of the sky. You'll be able to tell when Jesus comes. Now, a lightning bolt is a very powerful thing. One flash of lightning could power 100 light bulbs for 3 months. It burns at about 50,000 degrees, and that is much, much hotter than our sun. Lightning can be seen from at least 100 miles away. Jesus will be noticed when he comes. His coming will be powerful. Remember, the angels told the disciples when Jesus ascended, he said, this Jesus, as he ascended, will so in like manner come. You saw him go up, he will be seen coming down. And so if you're a believer, rest in this truth. You won't miss his coming. Now, if you're not a believer, you'll be left behind. Before there can be that part of the kingdom, before Jesus comes back, he would have to be rejected of men. He would have to do many things. Before he could go to his home in glory, he was going to have to do the work of the king. He was going to have to go to a cross. He was going to have to suffer, bleed, and die, because he was going to prepare the way by paying for my sins and for your sins. So when will God's kingdom come? It's already started, and you won't miss it if you know Jesus as your Savior. What will people be doing when it comes, when he comes? Verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Verse 28, as it was in the days of Lot. In the days of Noah and Lot, there was rampant immorality. Genesis 6:5 tells us, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness was upon the earth, and every inclination of thought of his heart was only to do evil all the time. There's a horrible story in Genesis 19 of the days of Lot. Lot had two visitors come. They were angels. And when they came and the city knew that he had visitors come, they came by night to get those visitors. They wanted Lot to turn over to him those two individuals, and they wanted to rape them. And when Lot refused, the Bible tells us that they tried to take Lot, and the angels actually had to step in the way to intervene. It was a horrible, horrible day. So there was great wickedness in the world during that time of Lot, and certainly in the time of Noah. Lives were moving away from God. That could certainly speak of today. Any awful thing you see that happened in the days of Noah and Lot is happening right now in the good old U.S. of A. We are seeing a downfall. We are seeing marriages fall apart. We are seeing a nation that is moving to say same-sex marriages are fine. In fact, it doesn't marry who or what. It doesn't matter who or what you marry. We are living in a world where not only are children being abused, we're living in a world where child and sex trafficking are taking place right here in Georgia. In fact, In fact, the Center for Sex Trafficking is Atlanta, Georgia. People, you know, we are so anti-slavery, but we're living in a day where young people are being taken from their families, taken from their homes, and put into slave trade. And that is horrible, but it's not any more horrible than going into a mother's womb in order to kill her unborn child. What will the days be like when Jesus returns? Like they are now. According to the scripture, they are very much like this time that we are living in. What will people be doing? Well, exactly what they're doing today. You know, all of that horrible thing, all those horrible things are going on, and what do? We're living like every day is just every day. We get up, we go to work, we eat, we see people, we watch games, we have entertainment, we go home, we go to bed, we go to sleep, we just go through the days. Jesus says, that's the type of days in which I'll return. It will be sudden. It'll be very quick. He says, if you're on the rooftop, you got stuff in the house, you're not going to be able to go down to the house and get it before we go. By the way, you don't have to pack. If you're in the field and you're working in the field, you don't have time to go back home before the time to go. In other words, we are going to go from wherever we are. It's a come-as-you-are party. And so at any time, day or night, could be the time, could be the hour that Jesus returns. And if you are saved when he comes, that is the time that you're going to go. If you are lost when he comes, you're left behind. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Now, Lot's wife was lost. She had never received Jesus as her Savior. She had never looked toward the Messiah to take away her sins. She had never accepted her husband's God. She had had the opportunity. She lived in the home of Lot, and Lot, at least at one time, was a strong believer. Certainly he waxed cold in his days in Sodom, but she had opportunity to know his God. But she just went through the days. Everything was fine. Everything was going to be hunky-dory. But the day came. Fire and brimstone began to fall. They had to leave. She was told not to look back. And you know, she had a salty end. She wasn't ready when the end came. Listen. You will either be ready or you will not. When it happens, it will happen. You don't get a do-over. And so the question of the hour is not when will Jesus come, but are you ready for it? What will you be doing? Whatever you normally do. When he comes, he won't look to your schedule. You know, that's kind of a funny thing in today's world. I don't know if you've noticed that. If you talk to people about being in church and about coming to God's house for worship, a lot of times they'll have to check their calendars. Listen, we need to get on God's calendar. We need to live on his schedule. Don't try to fit God into your schedule. His schedule is the schedule we need to be fitted into. And we need to be doing what he says. Well, then he asks the question, where? Where will judgment fall? Verse 37. And they answered and said, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wherever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. When you say, what? Well, where? Where will the judgment fall? The judgment will fall wherever the judgment is needed. God's judgment will hit exactly where God's judgment needs to hit. Eagles circle in the sky over their prey. This past week, I was driving around, saw this bunch of buzzards. We have healthy buzzards in this area. And there was a whole bunch. There was a deer that had an unfortunate run-in with a vehicle. And there were a bunch of buzzards gathered right. They were having a party. They didn't mind that I was driving by. They stayed right where they were. And I guess they felt like there was a safety in numbers. And so they had the numbers. And so they just stayed right there. Where do the buzzards gather? Well, wherever the food is. Wherever the opportunity is. God knows his children. Don't worry about it. If you are indeed saved, God knows you. God knows where you are. When he comes, he will know where you are to pull you out. Listen, God knew Noah. God knew Noah's family. God pulled them out. Lot and his family were in a more precarious situation, and God knew Lot. God knew his children. God pulled them out. God pulled those that were believers out. Mrs. Lot wasn't. She stayed behind. You see, you don't have to worry about where you are as long as you are where God wants you to be. You're okay. We just need to be walking in his will, accomplishing his purposes, and then we won't have to be ashamed when the Lord comes back. In this Gospel of Luke, we have the eschatology of Jesus. He's going to come back. He's going to come back quickly. He's going to come back when people don't expect it. And we who are saved, we need to do all we can so that others are ready to go with us when he comes. There are lost people around you that you need to tell about Jesus. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, my friend, you have been warned. Today is the day of salvation. You have an opportunity to get ready by accepting Jesus today. Don't sit back. Don't wait on what somebody else is going to do or what somebody else tells you. If there is a chance that you want Jesus in your heart, then this is what you do. In a moment, we'll have a hymn of invitation. We're going to sing. I'm going to be standing right down here. Come to me. I will not embarrass you. Just come and say these words. Say, I want Jesus. If you truly want Jesus, let me tell you, he wants you. He brought you here this day to receive him. And you can come to him. Just step out into one of the aisles, walk forward, and just say, Brother Jerry, I want Jesus. I know what that means. We will pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. And before you leave today, listen, you will be heaven bound. And you will be ready. You'll be ready when Jesus comes. Now, believer, maybe there's some things you need to get out of your life. Maybe there's some things you need to straighten up. Maybe you need to be living more ready than you are. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and lay it all before the Lord today. You don't have to say a thing to me. You get right with Jesus. If you need a church home and God's led you here, we'd love for you to be part of our church family. God's given you an opportunity. I hope you'll take it. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together today. We thank you for your word of challenge. We thank you for your word of warning. And Father, right now I pray for everyone in this room. There are some that do not know you, Father. But in this moment, they understand they would like to have Jesus as their Savior. They know that he died for them, that he was buried for them, that he rose for them. And Father, they want to receive him. I pray that you would give them the courage to step out, to move forward, just to say, I want Jesus. Father, for others that need a church home, guide them to this place. Father, for believers that need to move toward you, let this be a day of your moving in our hearts. Move within us now. Draw us to decisions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, You Come.